My name is Mary Jane Mason, and I just want you to meet my friend here. And I'm not, can you have to lift this thing? Weighs at least 25 pounds. So this is my friend, and I love it. Ow. And it's my, ow. Okay, so, but it's my favorite, and I take care, ow. I take care of it, but it really kind of picks, and it's prickly, but I nurture. I take care of this. I water it. It gets lots of sun, ow. And I love it. And it loves me, sort of, ow. And I not everybody knows I have this friend. It's just at my house. But I love my friend. I take good care of it. So I want to put it right over here because I bring it everywhere. So there's my friend. My friend's name is Mara. Who knows what Mara means?
Bitter.
Right. Who said they changed my name to Mara? Do you remember? Naomi. Naomi means pleasantness. And when Naomi went, Naomi's husband took her away from her home into a far land, and she took her kids. And she took her kids, and she's telling you, louder, I can't. So she took her kids with her, and she went into a far land, but now she had come back, and she came back without. She came back without a husband, without both her sons, and she lost one daughter-in-law, but Ruth came with her. And when she came back home, her friends went, Naomi! She goes, no. Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because the Lord has afflicted me. If sometimes you feel the Lord has afflicted you, I know I have. I have. Let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful to be here and to learn your word and to fellowship as Christian sisters and believers and to hear the wisdom that you would send to the hearts of your people. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to do a work in them. Cleanse them, grow them, help us to know thy will, Lord, and help us to deal with those things that we have deep within us, the roots that need to be pulled out. We give the honor and the glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So that's my friend, Mara, because it shows my bitterness. And we as women are nurturers, and we just automatically nurture. So that's something we have to be very careful about. I would like, if you have your Bibles or some kind of way to get to the Word of God, to go to Hebrews 12, 1 through 15 we're going to read today. So Hebrews 12, and I'm going to try to read it quickly because I think we're going to run out of time. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We have a race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember, he bore the cross, despising the shame. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Okay, so that forgiveness, you know, he endured the contradiction of sinners, but still he laid himself down to die for us. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Ladies, try to find a table that does not have food on it. They have a few up here. If there's no more room, then you have to sit there. That's okay. But there's a cup, like four or five or six right here. I'm sorry. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as your sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all ye are takers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father and spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's the key, to be the partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous,
but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore defile many.
We've all been afflicted. We've all had things that have happened to us. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in this room with me now because you wanted to come down and hear this on bitterness, or you're upstairs in another seminar. Still, those people, all of us have been afflicted in some way. We've been treated badly, maybe verbally, emotionally, some even physically and sexually, by family and friends, the people that we care the most about, the people that are supposed to be taking care of us, by people that are Christians, by people that go to church with us, the people that walk in the way with us. And I dare say we have hurt others the same way, meaning to or not meaning to, we've all done that. We've had injustice towards our children, maybe, things said about our kids. There ain't a mother in this room that can handle that well. We need to be careful with that. But things said about our husbands, things said about our children, things done to our children, all those things are real, legitimate, hurtful things. Nobody is going to minimize that here today or tomorrow. That is the truth. As long as the roots of that bitterness, as long as those hurts are growing in your heart, as long as we continue to nurture them, they are going to be healthy. Just like my prickly little plant friend over here. As long as I love on him and keep him going, he's going to continue to grow and be healthy. That's what's going to happen with a root of bitterness that might be in your heart. Even when we successfully try to pull them out, unsuccessfully, I should say, we unsuccessfully think we've pulled them out. How many times have you been in your garden or just walking in your grass and you try to pull out a dandelion? Have you ever tried to pull them little buggies out? They laugh at you. They either snap off at the ground or you come up with half the leaves all in, shredded in your hand and the rest of the plant is there. Even if you break it off at the ground, you know, because you've done it before, that that's going to come back bigger and better. Some are just hard to get rid of. Some cannot be pulled up. Your husband can mow over those dandelions and take them right down to the ground, and they're going to come. I think they come up overnight. I don't know how it happens, but there they are. They come right back up. Bitterness is like that, too. We may think that we've taken care of it, but in reality, all we've done was snapped it off at the ground or shredded it up through our fingers, and we have little bits and pieces of it in our hands, but it's still growing deep inside. What are some of the causes for that, that causes bitterness in our heart? I have lots, and you could probably add 10 more at least. Covetousness, wanting. I didn't get that. Are you mad at God because it's something you really want and you can't have it? Envy, maybe they got it and you didn't get it. And you know what? They're little. That might be something you think you've walked away up from, that person, and then next time you see something else that they got, and then it kind of feeds that little root. Hurt. We've all been hurt. We've been hurt by other people. We've just been hurt by life. Betrayal. Been betrayed. Unfulfilled dreams. Unfulfilled expectations. How many of us that are 40 and over can say, yep, my life turned out just like I thought it was gonna? It doesn't. And I bet every single one of us would say that. We had big dreams coming out of school or whatever, thinking I'm going to take on the world. Well, the world takes us on back. So, we all have unfulfilled dreams, unfulfilled expectations. Resentment. I can't believe they did that. I cannot believe she just said that to me again. So that happens. Grief. Deep grief. Loss of a loved one. Loss of a lot of loved ones. Loss of a marriage. Loss of a home. Something happened. You lost your home. Loss of a child. Loss of a friend. Moving. Maybe you just moved and you lost all your friends. Maybe that's just a grief. Maybe there's a resentment there towards a husband. Things like that. We've all gone through that. Humiliation. We've been humiliated. Not just humbled, but humiliated. bad relationships, one after the other. Why? Why is it I just am a magnet to people that are going to hurt me? How many times have one of you thought that? Frustration, rejection, neglect, maybe now, maybe as a child, maybe you still carry that in your heart. Being passed over again. Being forgotten. Anger. Just plain anger from it all. And so many more. I know you all have something maybe in your own heart. You did not just show me a 5 minute. Oh, I thought she said I had 5 more minutes because we're in big trouble. Okay, that's not going to happen. Regardless of the reasons of our bitterness, it causes emotional roots and many times legitimate pain. That is all legitimate. That pain is legitimate. The feelings are legitimate. But let's think of our hearts as a garden. So you were born, a little baby is born, and he's got this little beautiful heart, and it's just filled with these beautiful little plants that God has planted. Just beautiful little plants. But as we grow up into a child, a teenager, an adult, and all these other plants and weeds and things that are coming into our garden, and we need to tend that garden. We can't just let them all grow. And not only are they getting more plants, but as we get older, our garden is getting bigger. And now there are lots of still pretty plants, but they're just interspersed with all these other weeds. Weeds of bitterness that are strong, and we need to tend that garden, and we need to get them out of there, because sometimes they come at you so fast and furious you cannot keep up with them. Sometimes the pain is every day, every minute, one thing after another, and just about the time you catch your breath, bam, a phone call. You don't even want to answer your phone anymore. So I've gone through things in my life where I don't even want to check my text or answer my phone because it's going to be bad. I just know it's going to be no more. I cannot handle anymore. Of course, that's my key phrase. I can't handle it. Okay, so I don't know if you all say, I can't handle it, Lord. Yeah, you can. Okay, so we need the tools to get in there and take care of our garden. Just like at home, you need to get some. That dandelion is going to fight back. And once you broke him off at the ground, you can't just pull them out anymore, so you've got to get a tool. You've got to get a shovel, a hoe, one of those little thingies. I don't know what those are, those little hand things. And you've got to go in there, and you've got to pull them out. And then you have to be careful, because if you pulled, you know, a dandelion, you may get a good part of it, but if there's still these little things that got away, they're just going to go somewhere else and grow and pop up over here. So you have got to tend your garden. So what are some of the tools that we can use to tend our garden? First of all, God's Word. You're going to find the tools you need there. You're going to find the comfort you need there. You're going to find the encouragement you need there. You're going to find the wisdom you need there. You have to be, even at those times when your brain is gone, your heart is saturated with negativity, you have to still be reading the Word. I have, and I know you have too, have sat and read my Bible and finished and could not tell you what I read. And you go back and you read some more. And I don't even want to go back and read some more. I am so filled with an emptiness, a hole, a bitterness, that I don't even want to go back and read it again. Ladies, you got to read your Bible. You got to continue that communion with God. I went to a ladies' seminar once, and I've told this story before, and the lady said, even when you're reading your Bible, it's like a sieve. You're pouring water into a sieve, and it's pouring right back out on the other side. But what else is that water doing to that sieve? It's cleansing it. It's cleaning it. God's Word is alive. God's Word is real. When it goes into your heart, it is doing a work. Your heart may be so full of pain that your mind is not concentrating, but God is doing a work. Give Him the credit. Have the faith for His power, for the Holy Spirit as it works in your heart. Read the Word. Pray. Pray to God. Sometimes the words are not there. What does the Bible say? That the groanings of the Holy Spirit will go before His throne. He will pray for you. Just go before God. If you can get on your knees, I can't do it so much anymore. But sometimes I can get down there. Some days are better than others. But sit down and just be still. If you can't think of the words to pray, if your heart is so broken, if you are so angry, if you are so frustrated that you can't even get, then be still. Be still. Sit there quietly, find the time alone. I know that's hard for young mothers with little kids running around. Somehow, somewhere, if you have to tell your husband, I'm going to the grocery store, and then don't come back for 2 hours, go sit in a parking lot, but get that time to just be still. And that, I don't mean groaning, moaning, complaining, crying. You cry, you're going to cry. I always cry to pray. But just being still, and then it will come. I'm telling you, it will come. The words will come. The pain will start to wash in. You will be able to express yourself to God. You can be angry with God. You're not going to get, you know, zapped. Lightning's not going to come down and the hair's going to fall off your head. He will listen to you. He understands your pain. He loves you very much. I hope you all know that, how much you're loved. My pastor tells us all the time how much we are loved by God. I have not always had pastors that said that. He tells us, he reaffirms all the time how God loves us. Remember that. He loves you. I don't know what happened in your past. I don't know what your father was like, but I know what your Heavenly Father's like, and I know he loves you, and I don't want you to forget that. So talk to him. Here's the big one. Here's the one thing you need to take home with you today, if you don't remember anything else I say, is determination. Capital letters, underline it 4 or 5 times, highlight it with a highlighter. You getting over hurt, you getting that root of bitterness out of your heart is not going to happen magically. But you have to, she said it upstairs, you have to determine you're going to do it. You have to purpose in your heart, I am not going to be bitter. I am the queen of holding grudges. I can hold bitterness like a Tupperware bowl with the top on it. I can get bitter. And when things start coming at me fast and furious, I build them up like a wall. Then I have to stop and I have to determine, I am not doing this. This is too hard. I am not going to do this anymore. And you have got to tell yourself that. And what happens with a habit, if you continue to tell yourself, I am not going to hate this person, will your heart come around? It will. Your heart will come around. And we have to purpose that in our hearts. And you cannot stop going to church. You cannot stop fellowshipping with Christians. God says, do not forsake the fellowship of Christians. You have got to fellowship. And maybe that person is there, and maybe there's 3 or 4 of them. Or that very well may be, because a lot of times our hurt comes right from our Christian family, right from our church family, right from our home family, right from the people we love the most. You have still got to get in there. There are still good people there. Find those people. Those are the people you fellowship with. Build yourself back up in Christian love. The root of bitterness needs drastic measures to destroy it. It will defile many. How does it defile others? What are ways that it can defile others? Sharing your problem. Sharing your problem with everybody, with the wrong intent. If necessary, and almost all the time it is for a woman, and you need to share that problem, then find the person who will not affirm your bitterness. You're right. I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit. I've always thought that about her. Or, I don't blame you for being bad at your husband. I wouldn't even make him dinner tonight if I were you. You don't need somebody to do that for you. You're doing that good enough right here. You need somebody to say, knock it off. You know, listen to me. We need to forgive. We need to love. You need to know God's word. You need a person that's not going to affirm you, but loves you enough to help you be accountable. Okay, but not... But if you're looking for affirmation, what do you do? Well, I'm going to tell you what she did. You know what she said? 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 And then she goes, did you hear what she said to her? And you go home and you tell your husband, and I've told my husband, and my kids overheard it. Are we defiling many? We're defiling millions. We're defiling half the church. What good does that do? At what point do we realize that we have caused more problems by our bitterness than the original offense? Hey, she said that to you. And I don't mean that in a rude way, because I don't do that good either. I don't get over things good. I don't. My husband, the thing that he found was the funniest thing, he could yell at my son, and 10 minutes later, I mean, he'd be mad. My son would get mad. But 10 minutes later, they could be watching a game together and everything's fine. He could yell at my daughters, and 2 weeks later, they're still like... And he doesn't even yell at me because he didn't want to go there. But so that just doesn't happen. But and that's true. We do that. Like, you hurt me, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it for a while. So look for a friend who's going to help you not do that. Another thing that could be helpful, if you got to get that out of your head, you're up at night and you are so mad or you are so hurt or you are crying, journal. Write it down. Get it out. Throw it up. Excuse the, you know, language, but really, get it out. If you need to get it out, write it out. Write it out, every detail, every angry thought, every bitter, every mad. And then someday you're going to go back and read that and you're going to go, oh my word, wow, there's some ugly in me. Really, there's some ugly in us. So we need get it out, ladies. If that helps you do that. It doesn't help the situation or your heart to have one person listening to your garbage or 20. And it's not garbage to you. I'm not minimizing the fact that this is real, that you are hurting. I have hurt. I have hurt at people that I never expected would act that way. But there are people in higher places in our life that we think should be above it all. But you know what? They're sinners, just like us. And yes, they have a higher degree to show themselves as a good example, but they are going to sin. They are going to get angry. They're just like all of us. That is going to happen. Don't hold them to such a degree that they have to become something that is not humanly possible. Do not hold your pastor to such a degree that when he messes up, that you're like, he's a pastor. He can't do that. He can. So can a pastor's wife and a deacon's wife. They can get ugly too. And I'm not saying that against anything or anybody. I'm just telling you, if something happens in your church, and things happen all the time, and it causes problems in churches, because this one is mad at that one because the pastor did this, and now all these people are mad at the pastor because he did that, don't do that to him. Don't make him, I mean, I know he's up on this white steed, but don't keep him up there so high that he can't be human. Or his wife, or your deacons, or anybody else that in your church that you hold in high esteem. I'm going to take a drink of water. So that is a lot of ways that it defiles many. So a root of bitterness that you continue to nurture and you continue to feel is going to defile many, because we are nurturers. We are ones that are going to go to our friends. Most women are like that. And I don't mean to be general, because it's not everybody. Some people are very quiet. Some people are very closed. And that's not always good either. If you need help, get help. That's all I'm saying, to the right person. I have to say that I've had some things happen. This was not a good year for me. And the last year and a half have been kind of rough. But in the point that things were coming fast and furious, and I was being hurt, and I was hurting not just for myself, but for some other people. And then I had to come to a place where I just had to say, no more. I'm not doing this anymore. This is hurting me. This is hurting anybody I talk to. And like she was saying upstairs, it changes. The result is it changes you. You start becoming negative, ugly, angry, mad, off the cuff. You know, you think you might have it covered up, but it's right underneath there. And as soon as somebody says something that makes you mad, all the ugliness shoots out. You know, it's not just this one thing that made you mad, but all that buildup, it comes flying out. I had to realize that I actually love these people that were hurting me. I love them. There are a few, and they matter to me. I don't want to be mad at them. They may not think I'm the best thing since sliced bread, but I love them. Love them. Even when you're really angry with your husband, well, it might be hard, but you love him. When your kids, I mean, they're like, you're at the end of your rope and you're like, want to lock them in a closet somewhere. You love them. Anybody else touches those kids, it's all over for them, right? You love them. Love these people. They're usually the people that you love the most anyways. Don't stop loving them. Keep loving them. see their hurts, see their insecurities. What's causing them to be so hurtful to you or to other people? What's going on or has gone on in their lives that has caused that to happen? I read this recently. It didn't have anybody. It was just a little book I read. But bitterness is the acid that destroys the container. We're the container. So what are the effects? I'm going to tell you what the effects of bitterness are. I've got a few here, and I hope we don't run out of time. Feeling bitter interferes with the body's hormonal and immune system. Studies have shown that bitter, angry people have higher blood pressure and heart rate and are more likely to die of heart disease and other illnesses. You are killing yourself with bitterness. You are killing yourself. Physiologically, when we feel negatively towards someone, our bodies instinctively prepare to fight that person, which leads to changes such as an increase in blood pressure. We run hot as our inflammatory system responds to dangers and threats. Real or imaginary, that it, our body is affected the same way. The data that negative mental states cause heart problems is just as stupendous as the data is established for smoking. It's just as stupendous. Keep reminding yourself of all the physical harm you're doing yourself by remaining bitter. I tell my patients, this doctor, take care of this bitterness now, or in 5 years it will haunt you in the form of chronic headaches, fatigue, arthritis, backaches. If you allow negative feelings to crowd out positive feelings, you might find yourself swallowed up by your own bitterness or a sense of injustice. What are the effects of holding a grudge? If you're unforgiving, you might bring anger and bitterness into every relationship and new experience. Become so wrapped up in the wrong that you can't enjoy the present. Become depressed or anxious. And women are depressed. That's chronic among women. Feel that your life lacks meaning or purpose. Ever been there? I have. Or there you're at odds with your spiritual beliefs. This is not a Christian that wrote this. Lose valuable and enriching connectedness with others. Valuable and enriching. So if you are bitter and you're always constantly talking about that with other people, that is not a valuable and enriching connectedness. That is just, you know, venting all the time. It causes chemical imbalance, weakened immune system, diminished comeliness. You're going to get ugly. Don't be bitter. You're going to have to buy more makeup, and it costs a lot of money. Depression, stress, detrimental emotional focus, spiritual consequences, inability to love God. Why would you have an inability to love God? Because bitterness is sin. It's all right there in a nutshell. We are the ones sinning. We are the ones angry. We are the ones that are, you know, that person that said that probably doesn't remember they said it anymore. Or maybe that there is a thing going there and there is that ugliness. Doesn't matter. Let me just, if we are bitter, who are we really hurting? Ourselves, our loved ones, and God. Because he loves us. He not loves us only, not only loves us, but the person that we are, or the people that we're having this problem with. He loves them too. Let me read this to you. What time do we have going on here?
10.
We have time. Good. A teacher once asked her students to each bring to school a sack of potatoes. For every painful experience they could recall and for every person they could not forgive in their life, each student had to choose a potato and then carve into it the name of the incident and the date of the occurrence. That's going a little far. Just throw some potatoes in. And they had enough for it to be heavy. They had a lot of things going on. But I think in high school, that tends to be. For an entire month, the students were required to carry around their personalized sack of potatoes at all times. It lay beside their bed at night, my prickly plant, sat with them at lunch and on the bus and while they were with friends. The hassle of lugging around this load soon made it profoundly clear what a weight they were carrying around emotionally. The people whose names were inscribed in the potatoes were not in the least affected by the heavy burden. They're not carrying that. You are. You're not hurting them. Hurting you. It seemed a rather high price to pay to hold on to people, situations, emotions that were of no positive value in their lives. The students began to see forgiveness and letting go as a gift to themselves rather than a gift to others. This is not a Christian author. This, we already know that. We have already learned that. If you're sitting here today and you're a member of a church, a godly church, you know this. If you've been a Christian any length of time, you know that. So how are the ways that we nurture our bitterness? We justify our hurt. And it may be justifiable, but we make it like a religion to justify our hurt. We fantasize about revenge. We may not actually trip somebody going down the aisle, but we can find a way to trip them up somehow, right? We do our best. Cold shoulder. We see them coming. We make sure they know we see them coming, and then we go the other way, all right? We might do something like that. It's hard not to sometimes, especially when the wound is still new and you're really mad at them and you do see them and you're thinking, no, I don't think so, and you go the other way. Ignoring them. I mean, just plain ignoring them. Walking right on by, or they're sitting at the same table, you're talking to everybody but them, things like that. Trying to make them look bad to others. When we do all that talking and we're defiling many, there's a lot of times we say, do you believe that she wore that today? Or do you believe, you know, it's just things like that come out. I have said things. And then afterwards I think, I cannot believe I said that. What is wrong with me? Unfortunately, we can be especially creative when it comes to our husbands. If we're mad at them, we know the ways to push those buttons. So we need to be really careful. Sin. We're aware of it. We know it's sin. And now our bitterness is taking over. So now we are in outright sin. The root has spread, defiling our whole garden. That garden that God planted, that beautiful garden. We're not fighting it. We're not using the tools. We have determined to enjoy our bitterness rather than to destroy our bitterness. So now we have to realize that now we are the ones causing the harm. Maybe just to ourselves, maybe to just our husband, maybe our kids, maybe our best friend, maybe a lot of people. But we have to know what to do next. So we need to know the remedy. What are the remedies for taking care of this? Are we willing to forgive? Are we willing to forgive? We actually have no right to unforgiveness. And so before I run out of time, I'm just going to give you these verses, and if you want to look them up, go ahead. Yes. Ephesians 4:32. Okay, I got to go fast. I got more pages than we have time. Colossians 3:13. We have no right to vengeance. Are we thinking about revenge, even if it's mild? Are we? We have no right to vengeance. What has God told us? And she told us right upstairs, that is his place. You may not see it in your lifetime. You may not see it happening. It could be happening to that person. You may not see it. You don't need to see it. That's his problem. That's his child. When you have two children and they've done things to each other and you send them to their rooms and you go to each room and you give each kid their what for, the other kid doesn't need to know what the other kid got for their punishment. You don't need to know. You let your God let your father take care of it. That's his child. And that's coming from a mouth that still has a hard time doing that. But we need to do that. I'm talking right back at me here. Because we don't see him. Sometimes we get mad at God because we don't see him. Now there's added bitterness because, like, well, you're not doing anything for them. You know, it's all about me. You're not hurting them. There's always going to be hurt. The side of heaven, we are always going to be hurt. It's going to come. And it hasn't happened today. Wait till tomorrow. And you know what? And we're going to hurt other people. We're going to hurt our own family. We're going to, you know, it's going to happen. But then the last thing we need to remember, we need to identify what the real problem is here, the real enemy. Is Stacy my enemy because she said something awful to me? Because she's not, she's like my bestest. But because she said, is she the enemy? What happened here? Who is the enemy? Tell me who the enemy is. Satan. He is the enemy, and he is working hard for you to feel pain, for you to get bitterness, to make sure that root is being nurtured. Not Stacy. She is not the problem. Okay, we need to have patience. That's a hateful word, but we need to have patience. We need to give it time. Let the dust settle. Let your heart settle. Do not react. We need to respond. Do not react. Determine to do right. I'm going to go really fast here. Pray, study God's word. Think on these things. Philippians 4:8. You know that verse. Think on these things. That is so hard to do when you are full of ugly. To think on pretty things, but to find something. Find something good to think about. Control your mind. Your heart will catch up. Continue to be determined to control your mind. Stop accusing. Accusing is what Satan does. We don't have any part of it. It's counterfeit to authentic authority. Jesus does not accuse. He has the authority. So if something is accusing in your mind, that is Satan. That is his counterfeit authority. Don't go there. 1 Peter 3:9. All right, confront or forget. If this person needs to be confronted, if you need to go to that person, do it biblically. Talk to a biblical counselor. See the right way to do that. Talk to your pastor. Go to your Bible. It tells you to go to that person. If they don't hear you, take somebody with you. Follow that routine. Do it biblically. If it needs to be forgotten, forget it. If you, if your opinion was disregarded and you got your feelings hurt, if you were overlooked, if you weren't invited, someone said something foolish but not necessarily sinful about you, get over it. We have to swallow our pride. It's not worth a root of bitterness. It's not worth being mad at somebody about if it's not sin. So forget it. We have to swallow our pride. It's hard. The reward is you're going to be better instead of bitter. You are going to grow from that incident. Because who needs it? Seriously, who needs to carry that burden? When the Bible says the truth will set you free, he means you are free. I do not have to carry this. Every time it comes up and Satan brings it before you and you almost kind of nibble on it a little bit, you go, no, I am not doing that. I don't want to. It bothers me. It's too heavy. I am not going to be bitter. I am not going to be mad at this person anymore. I'm not going to let them do that to me. I am not going to let Satan do that to me. So one day we will look straight into the eyes of Jesus Christ, and then we will see what really mattered. Will that matter? Uh-uh, it won't. In his deepest wounds, I saw your glory. Do I see them in mine? You may be deeply wounded. I am not minimizing that. Deeply wounded by somebody who mattered, a father, a friend, a pastor, a deacon, a husband, your children, deeply wounded. But do you see God's glory in those wounds? Because we see them in Jesus' wounds. Did we have to suffer like he suffered? We read in our test, did we have to hang on the cross and bear the pain and the burden of everybody's sin? No. Let you see in your wounds the glory of God. And here's the last thing. Pray the word. Let me not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that by testing, I may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking to do and live and be the will of God. I hope this has helped you. I want you to leave here in peace. I want you to be able to pull out that bitterness. And if it's not you, but it's a friend, but we all have it, so I can't say if it's not you. We all have those little things going on in there. Just pray that you will be determined to not let them overcome your life, but that you can be fruitful and a beautiful garden. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for this fellowship. We thank you for this ladies' conference. We ask your blessing on each speaker, on every single lady here, that they get what they need to go back and be all that you want them to be. You have so much for us to be. You have so much power that you want us to have. Help us to be determined to use that power, Lord. It's not going to come magically. We have to access it by being determined to do so. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies, so much.